this morning, I'm turning to the Gospel of John chapter 5. Gospel of John chapter 5. I read to you verse 40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. You will not come to me that you might have life. And these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the words for our meditation this morning. And our subject is the life Jesus gives. In that way, that's somewhere in John chapter 5, verse 40. Yeah. It's supposed to say, "Mumba minchen namunya mpa." And some more kind of train, if I say, "Don't you hold nothing?" And some more, I would say, there are words that are very brief, but then there are words that carry weight to them. And if we think of it well, it tells us that we have the greatest importance, the greatest thing to have from the Lord Jesus Christ. And these words he spoke to some Jews who were not willing to believe in him. He had had interaction with them. He has done a miracle among them. He has spoken more testimony of his coming into this world to them. But yet they were not willing to believe in him. And interestingly, these were not quote unquote atheists or something. They were religious people. They were Jews. They were Jews who had charged Jesus that he has broken the Sabbath. There were Jews who had charged Jesus of blasphemy. Though it was wrong, it was out of wrong motives, they were wrong. In verse 18 of our chapter, they said, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also God was his father, making himself equal with God." So they were charging him of breaking the Sabbath. And what was the charge? The charge was that he has healed a man, an impotent man, on the Sabbath. And Jesus Christ himself told them that God, the God of the Sabbath, he still works. God holds life. He is God. And he has, I said that his Father is working, so he's also is working. And he also showed us how works of mercy are allowed, even in those days, during Sabbath. And yet they have cancelled everything. As if the Sabbath is to make people so hardened against others, even when they are suffering, they say, "Well, the Sabbath, so I will not mind." No, Jesus Christ told them. So they were wrong by charging him that he has broken the Sabbath, but they also charged him that he has blasphemed, that claiming that God was his father, meaning that he was equal with God. And this was a great matter with them. So it tells us, these people were religious people. They were not people. They had knowledge of the Bible. They were Jews, and they were not just ignorant Jews. They were Jews that were so learned in the scriptures. If without that, how would they try to charge him that he has broken God's law, the law of the commandment? Well, the condition of this people speaks much also to us. It tells us many things, because how people may stand in a religious condition and yet have not the life of Jesus Christ. So, these Jews had a form of godliness. The American said, "Yes, Christo, or cancel Israel, Israelphobia. No, Israelphobia, no, I'm going to say, no, I'm saying so. Because Jesus Christ, or just to or the truth, who said, or Yanko Pomba, and no, I'm not here. I said, or cast idea, no, or see, or any Yanko Pomba. In the earth, a bad idea, and that will boost you if you say, you pay me no Yanko Pomba. So, almost I agree with you. When I just said, Omu ye gofu a nice, Omu ye sufu, Omu ye gofu a Omu chesu Omu sumi yami. You see, na Omu tibia no e tibia kasa chesu if you say. So yet to be on with him more and yes, we should also cast as the much wrong. So among Ban or not, among being young, not as someone, I can't be betraying. So in America, the Israel for we know more, just to someone in a machine, They had a form of godliness, but they rejected its power, which is in the life that Jesus Christ gives. The form of godliness without the life of Jesus Christ is no godliness at all. Say, be what yami sum anasa isi yu sum yami ali yami ko fo na yebe ya asum jume niya diati yebe ya ni Kristo ni kono yemu no ni yami sum sana epache. So to have any form of religion, whatever I mean, like Christianity, to perform all the various outward ordinances of religion, even partaking in worship and everything, without the life of Christ in you, you have no life. So this had a form of godliness, but they rejected the power, because the power of godliness, the power of true godliness, that is given to us by Christ. Only until we have Him, we have no power. Spiritual life and holy life, He gives to all those He forgives. And this is at when a man. Nyame ye pa na nyame som pa na se Kristo ni ye pa no Kristo ni e papa na se nyame som e papa because eno na ma I say ahoden ene tumi e ba ye nyame som mu ene so na eno so na ma ye the stress e Yakobon ko fo anka sampa Yakobon e ko fo a ye som no. And this life in Jesus Christ is cured for us when He took to the cross of Calvary and offered Himself in our place. He took to the cross of Calvary to offer Himself as an atoning death, and then to appease God for our sins because we have sinned against Him. And this is what He went to purchase for us. His death was not merely to die, and that's all. He died to purchase a life which we need, a life which we don't have, a life that every sinner is lacking. That is what He went to the cross for us. Christo, sir, and why are you come and say, Nia Mua, Yanam is so many a Christo Sumiano, a Yakano, and then a Christo called Calvary, no call, then home, cobalt for dear, a deny a name, and the Pataya Bonnie, and then a Christo, and quaintino called Calvary called Uyen, sir, Ua, it is not a demonic chair, which means you inquire any other boy of Wa, any young coupon, a pong for ye, any young coupon, the door ya Kumimuno. If we say, in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, we are told that for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. So, as I said, we are all by nature born in sin. We are all in sin. We are all born in sin. We come to this world as sinners. From infant to whatever, we are sinners. We are born in sin. Our nature is tainted with sin. Our heart and minds are full of sin. We are captivated. Our heart and minds are captivated by sin. Sin drives us in everything we do. Foolish thoughts come and go. We are not able to clear them from our minds. Our character is defiled with sin. Our character is defiled, is corrupted with sin. Envy, hatred, lies, unkindness, impatience, lust, pride, fill our lives each and every day. All sorts of ungodliness in us. And because our character is defiled, we have come under God's condemnation because we have broken His law. Each sin makes us lawbreakers. If we say yes, subai apro na say you know ama ya banya kupon nimra no no me ase. If we say boni say boni bi ebe ebe ano ebu nyango pomra ebuso. If boni bi a me ye boni bi a woye no eme ebe emratufo. So that if you can count, there are many sins you may have even forgotten, but at least each one of us know our sins. We can count them. We can name some of them. Each one of them make us lawbreakers. And this brings us under the condemnation of God's law. And also, this condition exposes us to eternal hell. So that is how we are. And we must perish unless we are rescued from sin and its misery. There are two things, sin and its misery. In this life, we live and sin. The misery of sin is less in this life. Because the punishment of sin, you know, it's not every sin that God punishes us with. But at the day of judgment, every sin will be punished with. That's a greater day for misery. In this life, our life is defiled with sin. Sin surrounds us everywhere. Yeah, what we are seeing, we see, Satibia, Yabijimaya, the boy, if we have Coupon Brass, whom I have a Coupon, Nemra, and Nome Abadea, so no, Ama, Dab, or some James who are that way, you know. Say it to the Musa, the annual, your best friend, I mean, your best rat. Say, and Jim, free your money, and the money who are there, you know, your best friend, your best friend, your best friend, your best friend, ɛno na ɛfa tae na deɛ meka ne sɛ bɔne yɛwɔ bɔne na ɛwɔ bɔne ho nso asotwe awiase mu a ɛtimi bɔne ho asotweɛ no kakra bi na yɛnya yɛka bɔne ho asotweɛ paa deɛ ɛtwɛn atɛmu da no ɛno na yɛnkɔ bɛtwe obiara ne bɔne aso because awiase mu yɛtumi di bɔne na yɛmeyɛɔke ne ɛkɔba wɔ bɔne bi ɔma yɛdi a ɔho asotweɛ ba yɛ so but sɛ bɔne ho asotweɛ paa deɛ ɛtwɛn atɛmu da no ɛnti sɛ yɛte wiase me bɔne ama yɛ suban ayɛ apotɔ apotɔ nyame anim. Yakupon ehwee mene umi enu a. Ase ase se ye papa nya sentu ma gufisa na ye o yakupon yakupon hu ehwee a onya fenisen ade papa bia o imu a obefa se ye papa. So sin has defiled us and until we are rescued we will perish with sin and be miserable. And then as I've said before, Jesus Christ has settled this on the cross of Calvary to pay the punishment of our sin debt when he went to the cross of Calvary. I think there was a song that used to say, he paid the debt, he did not owe, I owe the debt, I cannot pay. That's the idea that he carries. He paid the debt, he did not owe. Each one of us, we have our debt. I remember an old friend, he's dead. Those times when we were young, when he came from Sunday school, I think one of the churches, he was singing that song. But interestingly, he sang that song and he grew up never repenting of his own sins. It's sad, eh? I knew that he died in a very, sinful character. He sang that song. He owed a debt. I remember it was he who made me to remember that song. But he's dead now, about 3 years ago. He died in a very, he lived a life of, rejection of God. And that is how it is. We can think of this and just not think of it. He paid a debt. I owe the debt he paid. And yet die without debt. What a miserable condition we are. That is how we are. We will think of the salvation of Jesus Christ. And yet perish with our sins. That's hard. The same word that we are now or two sign you may say. This is to try one hunker. One hunker and not any on one hunker. And so, Madame Fortos, I'm a Cassie Empire, I'm a Cassie Empire. And so, we were 3 years ago. Oh, we are not becoming impassable. We want to buy a year for this to buy a gas. I don't know the way. Or you'll be out now, see our Punyan coupon. And that is how it is. You may think of God's salvation, let ourselves, we are ignorant of the salvation of Christ. So, like this, Jews of whom Jesus Christ said this words to. That you will not come to me, that you may have life. Like this, there are many today who claim to think, who claim that they are true Christians. They claim that they are Christians. And yet there are many who claim to be Christian, but they are like these Jews. You see? Many can distinguish between various doctrines of the Bible. Many can tell you, I mean, where the lines are, where the divisions are and all that. Whether it's Reformed and Arminian, whether dispensationalism or Arminianism, orthodoxy or heterodoxy, whatever kind of terms we put on doctrines, people can do that. They can show you what is scriptural and what is not. I remember myself, I used to do that when I was in primary school. I used to argue people on there. Well, I had a colleague who were going to Seventh-day Adventist Church, and you know, from Ufans, they will teach you about obeying the law. So they will try to tell people about obeying God's law and all that. So I remember I used to challenge them. At that time, I wasn't converted. I used to challenge them, faith in Christ alone. But I wasn't converted. It was after SS, after secondary school, that I got converted. How many years? But I could challenge them about those things. So we can do that. We can be taught in scriptures, especially those children that are coming to Sunday school. And we know them, we can recite them, and we can recite verses and all that. But then we ourselves will have, our souls will be like a barren fig tree. Our souls will be barren, empty of spiritual life. Our souls will be like the barren fig tree which Jesus Christ cares that it should not grow again. You see, many have the leaves of Christianity but not the fruits. We show the leaves. I mean, you can see a plant. Remember, the fig tree Jesus Christ cares, it was having so much leaves, but had no fruit. God is looking for fruit, not the leaves. They show that we are alive, we are religious. God is not looking at that. He's looking at the heart. Have we given our heart to Him? Do we have the life? Jesus Christ said, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." These were religious people. They have a religion, but they have no life. So you see, so many have the leaves of Christianity, but no fruit, no spiritual life, no sincere submission to God's will. Well, I don't even care if my life, my decisions, my things I do is against me or not. I claim to be a Christian. No sincere self-denying for Christ. My things are my chief aim in life. My things drive me in life, not what Christ and His will demands. No separation from the anti-God culture, worldly culture of our time. Christians has always been people who have always been wise to know the anti-God culture of each generation. But it's sad that today we have many Christians who don't care what Christian conduct is. But they claim to be Christians. So no separation from the anti-God worldly culture of our day, the fashion, the leisure, the entertainment, the unclean things of the world. Many who claim to be Christian embraces without even any, like I remember David cutting the dress of Saul. The Bible told that his heart smote him. Many claim to be Christian, but hardly would their heart smite them for being in a state that displeases God. I wonder. Christians are called to separate from worldly cultures. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, we are told, "Wherefore," this is the command of God, "wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." God, some of the Corinthians were going to the idol temples and mingling with them. Say, "Come out from among them and be separate." And he continued, "And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And yet many things that have been received by God, they have been saved by Christ, but then they embrace the unclean things of the world. No. God have nothing to do with such a Christianity. A Christianity that has no separation. No. So kind of Christianity are lived among the rocks. This Christianity have no roots. Whatever kind of desire that rises, that seems to be holy, are crushed, never come to fruition. They will bring no fruit to perfection. But think of this. If we enjoy the world with unbelievers, do we expect to have heaven? No. If I am a Christian, I think I enjoy the world with unbelievers, Because unbelievers will not have heaven. I think, well, I can well enjoy the world with sinners and still have heaven. It's something that is not right. That's something which will speak to me. Well, I'm a Christian. My end, the purpose, well, of everything that I will enjoy eternal happiness. And here am I. I don't even know what is the worldly and what is not. No. If I am that, then I'm expecting heaven. I deceive myself. It's never true. And it is sad that we can, because if we want to know Christ, we should know Him as He tells us. We should come to Him and know Him. Okay, I'll move on. My time is going, so I'll move on. I don't want to delay much. I'll pick up two main points under this. But just Christ said, and you will not come to me that ye might have life. My first thing is, what obstructs them from coming to Christ? There are many things, but I picked some few things. I think about two or three. What obstructs? What is the hindrances? But the Bible tells us there are many. There are many who will not come to Christ because they think they are better. They are better without the life Jesus gives. They have carved it to themselves a different kind of Christianity. So they think they are better with that kind of life without what Christ lives. Or they even don't have that Christianity, but they live a kind of life which gives them joy and happiness in this world. So they are better. So when Christ said there's life, what? I'm enjoying life. So there are people like that. Because this year they share, then they still be more quiet moment to back to enjoy. I'm saying the other kind is a good food, sir. Omo, I will to be able to omo a year and more almost in some about Christian church. But this to live in sin and think you are better in whatever life we live is total blindness and ignorance. It's blindness and ignorance because this life, when it is over, life is not over. When we have enjoyed everything in this world and we have died, it is not over with us. It is appointed unto men once to die after this judgment. It is not over with us. So even if our life, quote unquote, is better in this world, Christ tells us there's better life, which you need to have. Else, you will not have eternal happiness. After this world, there's eternal life and eternal hell. This is not life. There are two ways. Christ himself told us, I mean, the broad is the way and narrow is the gate. It's the narrow way and the broad way. It is always true. After this life, there is life. This is temporal life. We live on after this life. And where will you be if you reject the life of Christ? And something that is better to live with a life of sin. Especially the young people of our time, they think a life of, it is interesting. I remember when I was young, it's easier to be, I mean, well, when you hear the word of God and something, you think, but many young people today don't think of at all. All that they think is something for here and now. Something for here and now. It's sad, eh? It's something that tells us that Satan has gotten grip of many in our time. Because to hear the word of God and at least you don't have any thoughts, it's a serious matter. So every unrepentant sinner is ever seeking for something every day to satisfy the flesh, to satisfy the desires of his flesh. That is the life of an unrepentant. We are all sinners, but I say unrepentant sinner because when we hear the word of God, it should move us to seek to repent and come to Lord Jesus Christ. But there are many who have heard it over and over, but they are okay. And being okay doesn't mean they are okay. They will rather want a kind of life that will suit their desires. Something fleshy lust will satisfy the cravings of their lust. Ebi mo kien say well, ona ma kono so ti echi abi ma well, akono ewo ni mu no any age. Is it true? Some go to the extent to enslave themselves to flesh and lust. When I'm up on a boom quiet on your mouth, which is Amaya and Kuamaya and Kuadiama as a prison for my Honama Kono, and one that drives on my life. You see? Nowadays, indulgence in sexual sins and alcohol and drugs is very common because of the internet. It's very easier for people to just get involved with these things. And that's what many people. That is what is driving the mind of many people today. And all that is to just pick the phone to watch. And I always pick the TikTok and whatever, watching the videos and all the foolish things over there. And I'm happy. You see? And what are they teaching over there? All the foolish things. People who are so full of their own sinfulness and just want to affect people with their sin, and throw them there. And we go there and we take them in. That is what is driving people's life today. The ideas on TikTok, the ideas on YouTube, the ideas. But no, when it comes to matters of life, it's the Bible that must teach us. What really comes, what comes to life, what should make me happy, is what the Bible teaches us. And because these things, sexual things and alcohol, they are paraded in the movies and in the music as if they are harmless. It's something common part of human life. In the movies, they portray this as well as something that is, common, accepted norm of life. And the more people watch and what happens, their thinking becomes like that. They think that that is how life is. Young men and boys and young men and women, and they think that's how life is. No. They begin to dress like that, how they watch on this kind of movies and whatever, they begin to speak like that and behave like that. See? And it's a way that people, it leads people to further into sin. Already, there's sin in our heart. Before we watch this, and we are already sinners. And we go there and inflame them. And the more we inflame them, the more we become enslaved in our sins. You see? The more we become enslaved in our sins. Start TikTok in the video, start of what we have, but I didn't know more yet. If you're my born in San Lomo, I'll cross you away. Bonnie to your mother, that. San Lomo, I'm so sure, and I'm Bonnie. These things people watch on video of this, it inflames the lust. It brings darkness upon their mind. And yet people don't care. Even quote unquote Christians, they don't care. It inflames their mind. You see? And when it comes to that, something people thought they were seeking for just pleasure, it becomes a burden. Addiction comes in. I cannot break away from such. Initially, it was a pleasure, but then as you continue, it becomes an addiction. Then there's a problem. Then the psychologist will tell you, they will give a term to that kind of addiction. While people are enslaved to their lust, they will give a term to addiction, as if it is not just a biological defect. You see how the world deals with sin. Repentance, in that sense, repentance becomes harder when people are addicted to sin. So you see, when the mind becomes so hardened against every warning of Scripture, and when the Bible speaks of hellfire, well, it's just like fun. We are going fine in our ears. Because there's lust which have been gripped with this addiction. And when it is gripped like that, we cannot break away from it. Instead, in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, he tells us fleshly lust war against the soul. It fights against the soul. There are many sins, though, but the fleshly lust, it war against the soul. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Because he was advising Christians to abstain, because it wars against the soul. You see? It wars against the soul. Whether you're a believer or not, it will war against. If you're a believer and you are tempted into that and you don't ask God to help you, it will make all your spiritual life nothing. You become so. You will never have happiness until you are broken away from that. And if one person, it will take their mind away from any truth. It will take them. There will be no desire to come to Christ. There's life in Christ because you have something to enjoy. Some also desire bodily comfort and so neglect their souls. There are many in this world, they are happy if their condition in life is better, but their soul is languishing. That's why they will also not come to Christ. Do you remember the parable of the rich fool? in Luke chapter 12. He said, well, I have plenty. I'll break my bands and fill more. And after I said, I will tell to my speak to my soul, rest and have your ease. And he thinks that having plenty is all that he needs. Having plenty of this world is all that he needs. Sorry. And the policy of this rich fool, what did God tell him? God said, he's a fool. Tonight your soul will be taken from you. When it's taken from you, then you see what you do with what you have accumulated. He was a fool. And indeed, he was a fool, because making provision for your body to neglect your soul is a foolish man's life policy. Why? Because the soul is important. The soul is immortal. Our soul don't die. This body, when it is thrown into the grave, it will rot. At the door of resurrection, it will risen up. Whether you have done right or wrong, whether to eternal life. But then the soul do not die. But people live in the world as if they don't have a soul. People live in this world as if they don't have a soul. You cry that you mono and who in whom any baby is here, you see ya at that pro. Ada, ewu nya never ba ni benya ni ipeduya ba ya kra no de e kra no ewu a ye wu a e kra no separate a tin hu fini peduya na ho. Our souls don't die. In Ecclesiastes we are told that, and then the dust will turn, when we come to the dust will turn to the dust, and the spirit, we call the soul, the spirit will turn back to God, and he determines where the soul will go. After death, you don't have any option. In this life, God has given us quote unquote hours, but then even hours in the bracket, you can feel to do whatever you want. But when you come to die, you don't have a right again. The right that God has given you, even that small right, which is not absolute, you will not have it again. You cannot decide for yourself, I'll go to heaven or hell. God will decide for you. Here he has given you opportunity. That there is life in Christ to come. So you see. So this is the rich fool. He thought of his body neglecting his soul. So as I said, many are concerned with bodily relief, my financial problems, my sicknesses, and business, and family, whatever. When these things are relieved for them, they are okay. So they don't come to Christ. They don't want rescue from their sin and its misery, and they live on. But my question to you is that: do you realize this? That your soul is important than your body, and that you have to be concerned with your soul than your body. There may be some say, "Also, do you realize it? And if you realize it, it will show in your choices. It will show in how you live your life. We may say yes, but then all that we are doing, the most important things of our life is for the body. So we may say yes or no, but then our choices and the things that our preferences and the thing we want to drive our life to show that our souls are important to us, or our bodies are important. As I said, God told the rich man, thou fool. And that is what we are. If we are living and our life is mostly about our life here and our enjoyment here and our safety here and our comfort here, we are like the rich fool. We are. That is what the Bible tells us. But God, who made us, has given us a soul. And the soul is precious to God. That's why he sent his son to come and die. And yet, we who are his creatures think that, well, my body is important to me. My earthly concerns are important to me. We are fools in that sense. You see? Okay. Now, what is this life that Jesus gives? Let's think further on this life. Sir, and find and people speak to them. Send it here. If you say, "Omo kachi omo," not omo niye wufo. Omo tiasi. This life that Jesus gives, those that he tells that they will not come to him, they had life, they were living, but he told them they should come to him for life. That means, as we started, and I said, there's something in life that we need to have beyond our mere existence. Well, the first thing we know about this life is that the life in Jesus Christ credit to sinners, the perfect righteousness that we love. the perfect righteousness before God that we lack. The other kind of Christo name for no other man, you know. Trenaya, a demon, and upon him now, Yenino, and a demon. That's what he gives us first. That's the first thing. So that when it comes to us, God sees us, then he justifies us. God sees us as though we have sinned our life, but because Christ has given us this life, and his life begins to actuate everything, his life begins to live in us, then God sees us not as ourselves, but Christ. You see, this is the first thing that happens to us. So you see, so receiving the life of Christ is the entrance of Christ himself to dwell in the soul by his spirit. Say, I did Christo, and I to say Christo, Nankasa, Ebabet, Zayumu, and now the Hunkon. So that's what it means. That's how we have to. God, without receiving it, he will not come to dwell in us. And Christ living in the soul is a mystery. So Christo, best to not be Pamuno. It's a mystery. It's a mystery to the human mind. That's why some people think, well, it's never true. It can never happen. It's never true. Christ living in us. It's a mystery. But sometimes I tell those who think that it's not possible, I tell them that our very soul's existence in our bodies is also a mystery. We don't see life. Do we see life? No. But we believe we live in life. We have life. We don't see life, we don't touch life. So you see, if they can touch life and Christ's life is invisible, then we may agree with them. But each one of us, we don't touch our lives, we touch our bodies. Yet it's our life that drives us. That when a person dies, he's lifeless, no activity. When a person has life, activity. And yet we don't see life. You see, those scientists who think that life is from some chemicals and the air joke. Life, we cannot touch life. Life does not come from material thing. Life comes from God. So you see, our very existence, both the life in us and our body as we live, it's a mystery to us. So we shouldn't become so great, something our mind cannot take. When Christ tells us, he will come and live in us. Because as I said, we don't see life and how God keeps this life. We don't know how God keeps life. We don't know. We don't know the scientific calculation of God keeping life. We don't know. It's a miracle. Each one of us, we live as a miracle. But yet, people think that we are just like animals. It's interesting, you know. So we come to Jesus Christ. We can't have this life when you believe on his atoning death on the cross of Calvary. Because it was on the cross of Calvary that he stood in our place and offered his blood to pay for our sins' punishment. So we come. Christ said, come. You will not come to me that you might have life. So we come to him by believing. By believing in what he has done on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, but Christ on champ, and oh, I'm right here, I'm right here, JDS to Calvary. I send the other so, the Jumo Bidi so, who here, Yajina be a witness and name, no, oh my, and no, and a deeper crystal, a JD to so, say no, and when the crystal say no, the main young. So we come to him because it is there he shared his life and gave his blood for us. So it tells us that it is vain for us to seek to be justified by God if we don't have the life of Jesus Christ in our souls. If we don't have the life of Jesus Christ in our souls. For the life Jesus gives, it gives us right to eternal life and the suitability for it. There are two things. There is eternal life, but it also makes us suitable for eternal life. When left to ourselves, we are not suitable. It makes us meet. Because so suitable. None of us suitable for this life, but because he gives us this life, he gives us the suitability to come to God. And God will reconcile with us. And to have everything in this life without having the life of Christ in you, you have achieved nothing.
What will a man give in exchange for his soul?
And then an impabet to me, and the ama, I want to cry. Say, imagine a cow. There's nothing. What can you give? All the world and its world cannot save a soul. If we see any money to me, so it tells us there's nothing so precious than the life that Jesus gives. To know that you have eternal happiness hereafter. Say, be the world, if we are seeing happen every year, nor die and in Colossians 1:27, the Bible tells us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ's life in me, the hope of glory. When I have repented of sin, trusted in Him, giving my life to Him, resting my hope only on what is that He did on the cross of Calvary. Living for that alone. You know, when we have been saved by this work on the cross of Calvary, in our life, we live for that purpose. That's Christianity. I cannot be saved by Calvary, and afterwards I live myself. No. Apostle Paul said that. All that he has acquired in life, even his status as a Jew in the Old Testament, the Jewish religion then, and even all his accomplishments were as done compared to his knowledge, the knowledge of Christ. Which is the life of Christ in his soul, and the enlightenment to know that he is saved from his sin, and that God has nothing against him. Sin, nothing is compared to that. And every believer comes to this realization. Until we have come to this realization, we are not saved. That the things of Christ, my own soul salvation, and afterwards, giving myself for him, in whatever I do in this world, whether my work, whatever, the glory of Christ. Because in the epistles we are told that to the Christian, whatever we do, we should do, to our normal secular work, we should do it as to the Lord. So you see, He is in mind in whatever we do. Even to the married, for the believer going to marry, so that they should marry in the Lord. So you see, every part of the Christian is to the glory of Christ. And how do I show that? If I don't live and look out for his purposes to live out. So you see, that is it. I lastly quote this one, 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see, if I have not believed on him and he has not saved me, and has given me his spirit, has not come to dwell in me, I have no life. Yes, I have life to live here, but I don't have the life that will take me to eternal glory. The life that will make me to know God. The life that will help me to overcome my sin and myself. The life that will make me to live a better life even in this world. I don't have that life. I only have a life that will lead me to sin, and I will be captivated by sin, and just to become more and more under the wrath of God. A life that will only lead me to become more rebellious against God. That's the life we all have. Until we come to Christ and He gives us His life, all the life we have in this world is to help us to live a rebel. We will become rebel to Him. We will not concern ourselves with Him for everything. And this is the life Jesus Christ gives us. And if we live in that state and reject the life that Jesus Christ offers, how miserable and dreadful will you be at the day of judgment? You said, you have nothing. You have nothing at the day of judgment. The Bible tells us it shall be that day to those who have not had the life of Christ, a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. It's like you are now standing against the sea of God's wrath. As you are going to be shunned, you say, what can I say? One found how much you school. You see, we never repented of sin. Then it's like you go to judgment with your own righteousness. You go to judgment with your filthy rags. It's like a criminal who is going to the court. And he's going, and all the record himself know all his records are not good. What does he expect from the judge? Judgment.
punishment, a sentence. Well, he may, I don't know, he only prayed that, well, my sentence will be maybe shorter. But definitely he knows he's going for sentence. That is how your life will be if you do not have the life of Christ. At the day of judgment, you're only going for sentence. You see, you're only going for sentence for your sin. So when I'm going to Christ, I'm going to go to so you see, the life that's right. And what have you have? What do you have? A life of sin and shame. And then now, but no me and Abraham Bonia Shemuma and Yin Gwasia on your meaning. And that's how we are. So if you have not come to Jesus, come to him. If you have not come and believe in him, come and ask him to save you. Confess to him your sin. Lift up your eyes to him. Because you and I, we don't know tomorrow. How many of us will continue tomorrow, a week, a month, and a year, we don't know. So it is that coming to Christ must be an agency. Because he has a life to give us. Come to him now. Come in repentance. Call on him. And the Bible just said that nobody who has ever called on him ever got rejected. He saves all who come to him. Christ said, "Obi ni homa wa friend wa wa pono. Obi o friend so anje ne nkwa bia no. Oje no. Ye hia ne se obakwa ni mo ne kure mu. May the Lord help us as we think on these things and to refresh our mind and to think again on this life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's